You are listening to Covenant Eyes Radio, helping you to stay safe and pure online. With the rise of social networks like Facebook, teens today have more opportunities than ever to express themselves publicly. But what are the potential problems this can cause? Exploring this question with us today is Chris Clapp Logan, Director of Communications and Congressional Relations for Enough is Enough. Mrs. Logan educates and advises congressional staff on internet safety issues and legislation. She's also the associate producer and the writer of Enough is Enough's Internet Safety 101 educational film series. She speaks with us today about the issue of teen web identity.
Their online profile spaces, their web identity is in many ways a reflection of, you know, their offline lives, and these spaces are just very important to them. They're doing this in a very public and permanent space. So when they make, you know, a social mistake or when they do something foolish, oftentimes it's very difficult to get, you know, those conversations, the images, the videos that, you know, demonstrate their immaturity back.
One of the areas of your study is teen web identity. Now, for those who aren't familiar with this concept, can you explain what is that? What is teen web identity?
Well, it kind of gets at this concept that, you know, our young people today, they're digital natives. They've grown up with the internet. Oftentimes, they're more skillful with utilizing new emerging technologies, and they're much more comfortable with using these new emerging technologies. And so for our teens today, for our youth who have grown up with the internet, the way that they actually interact with this, you know, online virtual world is very different than the way that adults who didn't necessarily grow up with this type of technology are interacting with it. For instance, if you look at, you know, most adults' social networking profiles, they tend to be somewhat limited in the amount of content that they're putting up there.
Sure.
It might have just, you know, a few pictures, some family information, some of their interests. But when you look at a teen's online profile, they're posting all sorts of information about themselves. They're blogging. They're posting videos. They're using Facebook chat. They're involved with all the quizzes and games because this space, this online world, is really integral to the lives of our teens today. We know that they're engaging with media more than ever, you know, spending,
right,
you know, 11 hours a day engaging with, you know, mobile, internet, TV, all of these types of things. So it's just very much a part of the fabric of their lives. You know, they live and breathe through the internet and technology. And we have seen that, you know, kids are putting all of that stuff that, you know, they want people to know about them, the things that they would like their peers to know, you know, regarding what's going on in their head, their interests. They're putting a lot of that online. And so their online profile spaces, their web identity is in many ways a reflection of, you know, their offline lives. And these spaces are just very important to them.
And so in a way, it's as if your online profile is sort of, as I've heard it said, you're writing yourself into being. It's like the clothes you wear. It's like the virtual clothes you're wearing. It's the way you want to present yourself to the world. So you begin to mirror a lot of your offline life right there online. What are the dangers associated, though, with this abundant amount of life lived online, presenting all this information about yourself on the internet? What would be some of the dangers associated with that?
Well, one of the dangers when it comes to the fact that our kids are living and growing up online in many ways is because, you know, we all tried on different identities. We all experimented to some extent. We all engaged with peers in good and bad ways as we're growing and developing. But because
Sure.
our kids are doing this online, they're doing this in a very public and permanent space. So when they make, you know, a social mistake or when they do something foolish, oftentimes it's very difficult to get, you know, those conversations, the images, the videos that, you know, demonstrate their immaturity, you know, back. Once something is out
right.
online, you know, it can spread rapidly. And so what we have found is that there's, you know, a large chance that when kids are misbehaving online, this type of misbehavior is going to be something that is permanent and can come back to haunt them. So that's one of the issues. Also, when it comes to sites like social networking, so much of the site's features are trying to encourage kids to engage and share in a way that will get a lot of feedback and attention, affirmation from their peers. And at times, you know, what they're going to think about doing to gain affirmation or attention might not necessarily be, you know, the best thing for them, such as posting, you know, risque pictures, you know, making fun of another peer online. There are just a lot of different implications when it comes to the internet, because so many people have access to the information on their profiles because of this kind of user-generated content where they're actively seeking affirmation. And so it really puts a magnifying glass on, you know, our kids as they grow up, and that's not always a good thing. And, you know, as they're interacting online, oftentimes they aren't necessarily connecting face-to-face with their peers, and there's a desensitization process that can also occur where, because, you know, we're not sitting face-to-face, you know, in the room together having this conversation, we see an escalation in the types of behaviors, feelings, all of that that come up as teens interact.
Yeah, I believe it's called online disinhibition effect, this idea of you're not inhibited by the fact that you're sitting in a room, so therefore you can judge all the nonverbal expressions, all the things that are going on. Obviously, you're not being held accountable to what you do. There's not necessarily the same sort of social pressure. So you're there in front of just you, a screen, and you can do what you want. And you almost have a sense of, it's almost a bravery that happens, almost a sense of, I'm not as inhibited when I'm on the internet to say what I want, do what I want, look at what I want. And that can cause, I can imagine, quite a bit of, like you've mentioned before, bullying. Obviously, it can cause problems posting content that you later regret. Are those the kind of things you're noticing in your study?
I mean, absolutely. That's one of the things that we, you know, whenever I go and I talk to youth audiences or I'm working with parents and teachers, you know, the adults say, you know, we did not treat each other the way that kids are treating each other online today. And so that's why parents have to be involved. That's why they need positive role models when it comes to internet use, because a lot of the content that they're going to encounter online is not necessarily setting a good example for behaviors. And so that's certainly one of the things that we have seen, you know, that kids are engaging with one another in a very different way than we ever did. And because, you know, of this I can't see you, you can't see me sort of situation that has emerged online, oftentimes they're losing the ability to see the human on the other side computer. And so, you know, it has been a big growing problem, and that's one of the reasons I think that we've seen this, you know, huge surge in kids bullying each other online.
You have been listening to our interview with Chris Clapp Logan from Enough is Enough. I'm your host, Luke Gilkerson. To hear more of our podcasts, look for Covenant Eyes Radio on iTunes or visit the Covenant Eyes blog, Breaking Free, at covenanteyes.com/blog.